people pay good money to see this movie. When they go out to a theater, they want cold sodas, hot popcorn, and no monsters in the projection booth.
Everyone pretend podcasting isn't boring.
Turn it off.
States have seceded.
The United States Army ramps up activity.
The White House issued warnings to the Western forces as well as the Florida Alliance.
The three-term president assures the uprising will be dealt with swiftly.
Let me know if you want to try anything on.
Are you guys aware there's like a pretty huge civil war going on all across America?
We just try to stay out. With what we see on the news, seems like it's for the best.
Citizens of America.
The so-called Western forces of Texas and California
have suffered a very great defeat at the hands of the United States military.
Mr. President, do you regret the use of airstrikes against American citizens?
We're moving to D.C. today.
We need to go down there.
They shoot journalists on sight in the Capitol. Every instinct in me says this is death.
Bloody.
Every time I survived a war zone, I thought I was sending a warning home. Don't do this. But here we are.
There's some kind of misunderstanding here.
What?
Well, you're American, okay?
Okay. What kind of American are you? You don't know?
The Western forces will reach the White House on July 4th.
Oh, my God.
Get in the car! Get in the car! Move, move, move!
You're gonna hang back.
I'm not hanging back.
One nation under God. Indivisible. With liberty and justice for all.
Go, 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 go!
God bless America.
Welcome to the Projection Booth. I'm your host, Mike White. This is not just the Projection Booth. This is the Culture Cast because I'm joined by Mr. Chris Dashew.
Man, I really love Captain America and Iron Man. Isn't that what we're here to talk? Ah, shit. That's not what we're here to talk about. Well, I guess I got to leave.
Also with us is Mr. Father Malone.
Oh, we watched the movie about the silverware, right? About cutlery?
On this special crossover episode, we are looking at the new film from Alex Garland, Civil War. The film stars Kirsten Dunst as Lee, a war photographer who travels with her print journalist friend. I never really caught what this guy's deal was. Joel, played by Wagner Mara. After a suicide bombing in New York City, the two decide to go off to Washington, D.C., where they hope to get an interview with that dastardly president, played by Nick Offerman, one of many cast members from Garland's Devs show, including one of their traveling companions, actually both of their traveling companions, Sammy, who's played by Stephen McKinley Henderson, and the young girl who wants to be a war photographer as well, Jessie, played by Kaylee Spaney.
Kaylee Spaney.
And surprise, this whole movie is actually about her. What do you know? We are going to be spoiling this movie as we go along. So if you haven't seen Civil War and don't want it ruined, just turn off the podcast and go away. We don't want you here. But if you do want it ruined, keep on listening. We're going to be talking about all of the ins and outs of especially the end of this movie. So, Chris, what did you think of Civil War?
So I've said this to you in private or in, you know, pre-post one of the recordings we've done in the last couple weeks about how I kind of regretted my decision to agree to watch this movie only because when I finally got around to watching the trailer, it, quote, gave me the big ick. And I mean, the movie, I think, fails pretty hard in actually making good on the trailer's promise of engaging, I wouldn't say engaging dialogue in terms of the characters, but engaging in a filmic dialogue with the audience. And I say that only because the person who's directing and wrote the movie, at this point, we've come to expect a lot from him as a director and a writer, because he's pretty much a writer director when it comes to the movies that he's done. And
unless
he
gets kicked off of them.
Right. There is that. But I will say I was pretty underwhelmed by the movie in a lot of ways. And I get what Alex Garland may have been going for, but at the time and the place that we live in now, even this feels pretty defanged as a movie. I mean, it's making some points, I guess, but I don't necessarily agree with who the movie focuses on, because I think that once you realize what the movie's kind of game is and what it's driving at, it feels like it's become quite a pedestrian movie in a lot of ways. And look, there is some pretty interesting imagery in the third act, but to what end is kind of where I come into it with all of this. Look, I saw what January 6th actually looked like so many other people did. You want to show me helicopters blowing up the Washington Monument and shooting rocket launchers at the Washington and the Abraham Lincoln statue of the memorial? Like, go right ahead. It's not really that shocking anymore. I mean, that's maybe the saddest thing about this movie, is this movie's really not that shocking. That's why I say it's kind of pedestrian in a lot of ways, because this is the future only dialed up 1 or 2 degrees. And I'm not saying that to be some sort of doomsday sayer or anything, because I'm far from it. I tend to find myself to be a rather positive person, but this movie, the trailer did a lot better of a job making me feel a certain way than the movie did. And I think that's because those short form snippets of things, once you see what it actually is in the grand scheme of the film, it's like, okay, it really is just that in the third act. In a lot of ways, this movie may have been better as a mockumentary or even found footage. I mean, it kind of is sort of found footage-y, but yeah, I was thoroughly underwhelmed and felt like, oof, what was I making a big deal about with this movie before going to see it?
And how about you, Father Malone?
It's hard to quantify just how disappointing this movie was, to the point where I've actually become quite angry about the film. Because, like you, Chris, when we agreed to do this podcast months ago, it was right after the trailer had come out. In fact, I think it was the day the trailer came out. And I had watched it, and I agreed to do this with an immense amount of trepidation, knowing Alex Garland and knowing what he's capable of and knowing how thoughtful a filmmaker he is, and writer particularly, that him handling the notion of an American Civil War, given our current political climate, was a horrifying notion. To show us exactly where we can go and what can cause it and how we would deal with it. And that's what the trailer foretold. So this entire time I've been dreading it. Up until its release, before I watched it, I thought, I might even just call this off. I might just not show up for the podcast, tell you guys I didn't see it. And now I watched it. And it is not only a situation where this isn't the movie that the trailer promised, it falls down on like every fear that I had, and then it falls down on a bunch of other levels. Let's not get into the nuts and bolts of it now. I guess this is just sort of our basic opinion, but like on a just a very surface level, this script needed a pass by Mr. John Milius, because it makes no sense. What's going on militarily in this movie? Any of the actions, the military actions occurring in the film, we're supposed to be shocked by the fact that this is taking place in America. But if you had just told me that this is Kosovo and these people are speaking English, but they're actually speaking, Czech or something, like I would have believed it, because it has no bearing on America. It's this meandering road movie when we were told it was going to be this Civil War movie. I don't know why. Maybe it's because it's called Civil War. If you want to see an American Civil War movie, see Joe Dante's The Second Civil War. That was like a Showtime movie he made many years ago. I'm I I cannot believe Alex Garland made this movie. Because I like all of his movies, but what this movie did reinforce for me is that Alex Garland has a third act problem across all of his films. They all fall down in the third act. They're weird enough and interesting enough that they carry you and you don't really mind it, but it's a big, and it's a huge problem here. The third act of this movie with the troops in Washington, D.C. ought to be fucking horrifying, and it was pedestrian at best, and at worst, it made zero sense at all, like just... Like what I was saying, tactically, militarily, the president with the Western forces on the way is still sitting in the White House? That's the level of logic going on in this movie. And by the way, we're not supposed to think about any of it because he's gussied it up by making it confusing. Like the idea that Western states like California and Texas have teamed up. Oh, okay.
That's the most unbelievable part of the entire movie, is the basic premise alone.
He puts it in there so you can say, like, well, it doesn't make sense, so we'll ignore the politics of the movie. But it's all politics, motherfucker.
I would actually say, and I just want to get this because I don't know if you're going to say it, Mike, but I just want to mention, this is like the worst, most ineffectual zombie movie I've ever seen is really what this feels like. It feels like someone just CGI'd out all the zombies in a zombie movie, because in a lot of ways that's what this feels like. If you told me this was from The Last of Us, I would have been like, sure, yeah, it was taking place during that, like, because in a lot of ways, like, it's,
you know, you could call this movie Tales from Dawn of the Dead, taking place during the early days of the zombie apocalypse,
right? Yeah, but just no zombies at all. Zero.
Right. They just don't run into any. That's all.
It's the later days of the zombie apocalypse where all the zombies are dead or they've starved or winter has come. I was so thinking of World War Z while I was watching this, and I kept thinking, well, what's going on in other parts? And I'm talking World War Z, the book, please, not the movie.
Book's amazing.
The book with all of the, oh, here's this person in this area and they tell their story. Then we go over here, they tell their story. And then I asked you guys to go back and watch this movie in Smog and Thunder, which is subtitled, I think, The War of the Californias. And it's all done with, mostly all done with still images. It's all these paintings of what happened during the war. And that has that whole World War Z trope where we go to this person who talks about this. We hear from this person who talks about that. I was waiting for that in this movie. But yeah, I was getting major Zombieland vibes through this, to the point where there's a part in the movie where there's a body laying across the road and there's like the Santa village and you hear these and it doesn't make any sense what the fuck is going on. It's just like provocative images that there's like bubbles and music, Christmas carols going on. And there's this body on the road, and I'm like, is that a real body? Is that just a mannequin? And I still don't know. Even after they ran it over at the car, I still don't know if it was a real body or a mannequin. And there are these soldiers there just hanging out, just two lone soldiers just hanging out, and they are trying to kill the sniper that's inside of this big mansion. And as soon as I saw the mansion, I leaned over to the guy I saw the movie with, and I said, it's Bill Murray in there. And I mean, that's how much I was getting Zombieland from this. I thought they were going to look for a Twinkie after a while.
You mentioned the film you asked us to watch, In Smog and Thunder, which for me is very much like Confederate States of America in the way that it's done. It's that Ken Burnsian thing. And it, like, I watched that, and I would have watched that three more times, because I would rather even throw this movie out of my memory because I can't believe Alex Garland made it. Because I kind of forgot to mention this in my opening salvo, as it were, but Annihilation is one of my favorite films. It's an amazing movie. It does have a third problem act, but it's, in a lot of ways, it's the least third problem acting having movie that he's done, maybe other than Ex Machina. But I'm in the minority on that film. It's not one that resonated with me, but that's probably my biggest disappointment here, is that this is an Alex Garland movie, which it's like a Jonathan Glazer film being bad. Like, he doesn't make movies very often, but when he makes his films, they are his films and his name is the written credit. So I can't, if this isn't the movie he wanted to make, there's no one he can blame but himself. It is one of those scenarios where you can blame the director because the director is also the writer.
You mentioned that the sniper scene, which happens to be my favorite scene in the movie, just for kind of the reasons that what doesn't work for the rest of the movie works in the scene for me, where it's all confusion. We don't know who these soldiers are, if they're soldiers. We don't know who they're shooting at and why they're being shot at. And it also has the most... Look, Alex Garland is kind of this like pastoral futurist. He really loves nature and he really shoots it beautifully. And in this scene in particular, there's intercutting between Kirsten Dunst and Callie Spaney as they're taking photographs of the action. And the camera slowly racks focus to these like flowers that are laying in front of them. And it's all slow motion. He does it twice and it's gorgeous. And I loved that scene. But what works in that scene, like I said, the confusion of we don't know what's going on, shows a bigger problem in the movie, which is we're dealing with protagonists who are all journalists, and we learn nothing about what's going on from anybody. We go to a town that has decided we're neutral. We're not engaging in this. And they kind of ask them questions, but ask them in an outraged way, like, how can you be, blah, blah, blah. But don't really get into it. Don't find out anything more than that. Just the soundbite first. And then they're back on the road, meandering on this road trip movie to nowhere.
That's why it felt like a zombie movie to me, is that I'm not going to explain anything. Wow. Like, you have a chance here. You might as well. There is no benefit to not, unless you're going to set the movie as people, like random everyday civilians at the beginning of the conflict, as if this were somehow like Red Dawn adjacent. If we're this far into it, where the forces are knocking on the White House's door, what the fuck movie? Like, I get it, but this is not the time to not explain it, because that's an opportunity to reinforce whatever the fucking point you're trying to make is, because best I can tell, the point is war journalists have a penchant for the dangerous and then get PTSD and possibly die. No shit.
Yeah. And yeah, I would have been fine if this was a film about war photographers. And yeah, like you were saying, Father Malone, set it in Kosovo, set it in Ukraine, set it in the Gaza Strip. You know, like, we've got all of these places right now that are active war fronts. It's like, okay, well, go ahead, set it there. The thing that captures your interest about this movie, or supposed to, is these are Americans fighting Americans. I would like to know a little bit more. I don't need a PowerPoint presentation. I don't need an opening scroll to tell me, you know, in the year 2426, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, I don't need any of that kind of like Judge Dredd type, you know, opening scroll type thing. I would just like a little bit more information. That would be great. Or just go to some other characters, or have something here. Like, this, all it is basically an older photographer passing the torch to a younger photographer. And that's the movie. That is all it is, really. And all of the interesting things aren't interesting. You know, all the things that I wanted to see just don't hold my interest.
It just happens to be set in the United States, right? Yeah, like, that's what, yeah, like, doesn't even matter.
There's no payoff to it. There's no reason to set it in the United States other than because it's a provocative thing to do given the current situation here.
Right.
And speaking to what you said, Chris, that I can't believe this is Alex Garland who wrote it, given the level of research and detail that went into a screenplay like Sunshine, to then go here with this script, and look, he tries to sidestep it, like I said, by just making it so obscure and weird and odd that we can't find out any facts. We don't know anything that's going on. But the facts that we're given are so unusual and so, like, I cannot wrap my mind around some of them. Like, you know, the sort of the Texas-California one being sort of the prime example, but just like other little bits of little crumbs of details that were given don't make any sense to me. And as a viewer, I'm sitting there trying, instead of watching a movie about photojournalists, which is what this fucking movie is, I'm trying to suss out what on earth is causing this conflict. What is going on here? And another thing that this is another thing that really bugged me, just on a plot sort of level, Kirsten Dunst and is it Sammy? Is he the male lead? They're going to Washington, D.C., right?
Sammy is the old guy. He's Thufir.
He's the old guy. He's Thufir going to
from Dune, from that amazing Denis Villeneuve film, Dune.
Yes.
And for some reason, I thought he had passed away, and that's why he wasn't in Dune 2, but apparently he's alive and well. So I apologize to you, Mr. Stephen McKinley Anderson. The guy who you're looking for is Joel.
Okay, so Joel.
Pablo Escobar.
Yeah, basically. So they're going to the Washington, D.C. because they want to get an interview with the president before the Western forces come in, right? And they're acting like it's a huge secret. Like, don't tell any of the other journalists what we're doing. Don't add anyone. Don't leak it to anyone. The Western forces are approaching the White House with an intent on assassinating the president for all to see. Every journalist is going to Washington, D.C. right now. Like, this should have been a movie about battling journalists on the road, trying to like one-up each other on the way there or something. Because, I don't know, none of the movie logistically makes any sense.
Hear me out here. What you're asking for is essentially Cannonball Run, but during a modern American Civil War. Now, Death I would watch 2000. That. Yeah, well, or that. But I just like the idea of Cannonball Run. A bunch of quirky characters. You've got the Klansmen in one car and the white nationalists in the other. And they're on the way to the White House. I mean, you know what? Make it fun, at least. That was the thing. Make this a funny movie. You could have made this a funny, satirical film. It would have worked way. It actually would have worked as a movie. But you know what? We're just going to do nothing. It's like an hour and 40 minutes of doing nothing, which is not something I would give Alex Garland a notion that he's capable of doing, frankly.
It's so strange because there's like two really tense scenes in the film, and that the film does not open with a tense scene. The whole weird thing where you're like, you see the girl who's going to suicide bomb and you're just like, oh, she's putting on a vest. She's probably a suicide bomber. And then like 10 minutes later, she runs into the crowd and blows stuff up. And I'm like, I'm a pretty savvy moviegoer. I don't know if everybody else is going to get this, but okay. But anyway, the two scenes that I felt had a lot of tension. One was at the car wash where the guys are strung up. There's no resolution to that. We just cut to them in the car and we go, they're probably going to shoot them anyway. So it's better that they shot them now than later on. And I'm like, we're just aborting that scene. Okay.
Yada, then, yada, baby.
Yeah. And then the other tense scene, and this one actually pays off, is the Jesse Plemons scene. And I'm just like waiting for him the entire time. He's in the one scene, ladies and gentlemen, one scene with this guy, whereas he's all over that trailer. That trailer, I have a lot of problems with that trailer because I feel like I was sold a bill of goods. That scene was fantastic, and I love the tension. I loved how he's just fucking with them, and you're like, okay, great. Like, these are the kind of people that are out there right now, probably like 3 miles from my house, you know, like protesting right now the trial of Donald Trump. And it's like, okay, more of this, please. Like, this is what I want. I want this tension. This is what I was sold when it came to this movie. Should have had me on the edge of my seat feeling queasy the entire time instead of bored.
And I mentioned that scene is in and of itself a yada yada moment because the line in the trailer is, what kind of American are you? Then they cut in the trailer. Mm-hmm. In the movie, he goes, what kind of American are you? Central American? South right. American? Like, wow. What? Yeah. What? And then you just you undercut the entire scene by having it go in the weirdest possible direction that makes no fucking sense. The question, what kind of American are you, should have been the central tenet of what this movie is about. That is the singular line of dialogue in this film. Similar to, ladies and gentlemen, this is your captor speaking. Like, that gets all you need to know about Under Siege 2 out of the way immediately. What kind of American are you? Should have informed anyone who's sitting down to watch this movie what they're getting themselves into. And it, like you said, what a fuck. So that was a fucking lie. That's what this feels like. I can't believe we're being bait and switched by a director who up until this point I would have considered an auteur.
Well, is this him? It's not him cutting the trailer. It's A24.
But he cut the movie together, which is where the real problem lies.
Yeah.
Well, no, he made a movie that did not in any way resemble the movie that trailer promised, because that scene, the Jesse Plemons scene, was what I was expecting from moment one in the movie. Just an endless, brutal onslaught of that type of tension. But by the way, by that point in the movie, that was like three quarters of the way through the movie, I was bored by then. And mad that this was like a fuckaroo that didn't have anything to do with an American Civil War. So that, like, any tension in the scene kind of got undercut. And it also got undercut again on a basic fucking logistical level. If somebody's saying, where are you from? And he's shooting people who are not from America or California or Texas, you just say, ah, man, I'm from Missouri. I'm from Colorado. I'm from Hong Kong.
Well, that they are wearing badges that say press. I mean, after the war on the so-called fake news, that's the first person you're going to shoot. Any person that was wearing a press badge, take them out. You know, they just tell lies. All they do is tell lies about our president. Take those motherfuckers out.
And they say as much in the movie. They're like, no press should be in Washington, D.C. They're being shot on sight. Where is that?
Where are the people just standing on the streets? We know that people are fucking idiots.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, this is a zombie movie. This is post-apocalypse. We don't see any just normal people hanging around. Even when it comes to that little town that they go to, there's the girl in the shop and there's the two guys standing on the building. Give me like another 5 minutes of this thing. Show other people going to other stores and like what they're doing. No. None of that. It just, they never run into anybody. It feels very like a zombie movie because it's just so sparsely populated. This is so like a watered down 28 Days Later. Because in there you see like the brutality of both man against zombie, but then man against man, and the way that they start to turn on each other towards the end of that movie. It's like, oh wow, this really like hurts me inside to see this stuff. Where is that in this film? Come on, Alex. You've gotten tamer over the years rather than more vicious.
And what I don't understand is the thing that you kind of mentioned, but it bears repeating. This is an A24 movie. That alone was getting people excited because it's a big budget A24 movie. I hope you're happy because this is a very disappointing Alex Garland movie. And it's an even more disappointing, not for me personally, because A24, they're fine. But I know that there are people who are part of the A24 fan club, movie club. That's a thing. I've got to assume, unless they're seeing something that we're not, this is also disappointing. And if it's me seeing this as the first big budget A24 movie, not a great first showing, that's for sure.
I feel like we are in the minority when it comes to this. I've seen nothing but praise on my feed, but the Facebook feed today. All the critics, all the people with opinions, they just seemed like, oh my God, what a cutting edge film this is.
Not only critics, not only like people that I know and respect, but like I read a review by Paul Schrader and like Stephen King, like these people like echoing the same idea, which is, this is horrifying. This is a horror movie. You got to see this. It'll knock your socks off. And I'm like, where, when, what the fuck are you guys talking about? Are you like, they're responding to the trailer and all that dread I had about watching this fucking movie. Speaking of dread, that's his best third act.
There you go. Well, he was also removed from that project. I mean, they locked him out of the editing room, is what I remember the story being. I was so caught up looking at the Ghost Stealers graffiti that was on the bridge that right before that shot cut, I realized there were two bodies hanging from another bridge right there. I'm like, you're focusing in on the wrong things.
I will say the things that I read before seeing the film were not super positive. I know that The Ringer and I think maybe IGN as well and one other place I read were pretty like middle of the road, if not leaning the direction that we are. And I would actually be curious to read what Stephen King had to say, because, yeah, I mean, this for me, I you know what I would compare this movie to? Somehow this is the this is literally what happened to that Suicide Squad movie, the shittiest trailer known to man a bad movie. This movie had a kind of amazing trailer with a movie that is such a disappointment. I wonder if A24 screened the movie and were like, oh no, uh-oh. What? We kind of have a boring movie here that doesn't really have much to say. Let's take like the best parts of the movie that are the nuggets, the core kernel ideas that really should have been built off of, and just put them in a 2-minute trailer, and then, you know, have some good press about the movie, hopefully, because of the topicality of the whole thing.
I rewatched the trailer, and yes, this is the biggest A24 opening that they've ever had. I rewatched that trailer, and so much of the footage comes from the third act, the Jesse Plemons post that scenes. What I was reminded of at one point, and I hope you guys have never seen this movie reminded me a little bit of Cell, the Stephen King slash movie. Yeah.
I read the book.
Come to the point where it's the tent city and it's the stadium.
Yeah. Yep.
I was just like, oh, it's like where all the zombies, the cell phone zombies laid, and they're going to blow up all the cell phone zombies, and then we're going to feel bad for the cell phone zombies for no good reason. Yeah. I was okay with the book, but the movie, oh my God, was that bad.
Dreadful. Yeah, I couldn't abide that film. I agree. The book was just sort of, well, okay, he's just making a B movie kind of zombie kind of thing. Okay, that's fun, I guess. But yeah, no, and no to that, and no to this. No, across the board to all the faux zombie movies. Look, everyone here is still worshiping the altar of Dawn of the Dead. They've all been making their zombie movies, some explicitly and some less explicitly, but like, come on, give it a rest already. Find something else. Like, this movie should have been about American Civil War. I was dreading it and wanted it. I wanted Alex Garland's fucking brain behind it. It's really insulting that he chose to just go, well, that doesn't matter. Don't pay any attention to that.
Oh, and the way that they tease us with like, oh, here's the map. You know, I keep seeing the map everywhere as far as who's aligned and who's not. And the map shows up in the movie, but it's reversed out and it's a reflection on a window that she's looking out of to see all these airstrikes going on. And I'm like, okay, when she's sitting there in a hotel room, which she had to climb 10 flights to get up to, it doesn't feel like she's in any danger. I mean, there's a few moments where she feels like she's in genuine danger. And I'd say the Jesse Plemons part is it. And really, even when she's in the firefight and the fucking White House, I knew, oh, well, she's going to have to die at some point. But otherwise, I was like, no, she's in no danger throughout this entire film.
That's how you pass the torch, baby, is you go down and you sacrifice yourself. Yeah, it's like, on top of everything else, like, and we kind of really haven't mentioned it. We've talked about it a little bit, but the characters, again, this is an audio medium, so you can't see me making air quotes here, but the characters in this movie aren't characters at all. If not, in a lot of ways, they resemble characters in a, like we've already talked about, a zombie movie. They're just fodder for someone to tear through. Mm-hmm. I have no emotional attachment to Stephen McKinley Henderson's character or Wagner Moura's character. And they should have been the characters. We should have cared about Kirsten Dunst's character. The moment where she dies, which is heavily foreshadowed very early on when the character of Jesse asks her if she would shoot the photo of her if she gets shot. It's like, okay, so she's going to have to do it. Who's writing this? That not Alex Garland. Like, I'm sorry. I remember watching Annihilation and then reading the book and then rewatching the movie and going, what the fuck is this? Because he was transformative with the medium, with the original source material, in a way that makes that movie something worth watching, separated completely from the original source material. Here, I mean, I guess you kind of fantasy booked the American Civil War, but brother, if you're going to do that, give us, you know, if you're going to do that, fantasy book it in a way that's exciting. I mean, look, I'm not saying go full Roland Emmerich, but if this is your attempt at making a big American Civil War movie, I mean, I saw better destruction in Independence Day, and that movie came out a long time ago.
You know, Chris, that's exactly right. And we are so inured now to seeing our national monuments being destroyed by aliens and natural disasters and on and on and on, that somehow firing at the fucking Lincoln Memorial or running through the White House. I've seen the White House destroyed better on numerous occasions in the past 20 years. So who gives a shit about any of that? And also, it, again, just keeps making me think, how did the Western forces get across the country, mm-hmm. get Washington, D.C. surrounded, that they're able, that this is their final push in? Where's the rest of the military? What's going on here? Like I said, where was John Milius to rewrite this script? Just give it a polish, just a shade of possibility, like actual logic. Like, how about the president is at Camp David or some other thing, and that's where they're going?
He would stay at the White House. That's what Hitler did. Guys, don't you get it?
9/11 happens and boom, your Dick Cheney is secreted away someplace. So where's the VP here? Where, you know, any of this stuff? I'm guessing that he is kind of this Donald Trump stand-in and caused all of this stuff is what I'm...
He took a third term, they say, but how did that happen? Was there an election? Did he just say, I'm not giving up power, I'm staying a third term? Like... these are little nuggets that might have helped me watch the rest of the movie and go, oh, it's about photojournalists.
The Antifa massacre, guys, and a lot of hand waving. The Antifa massacre and a lot. Like, Alex Garland, are you dog whistling Antifa now, too? Like, bro, well, what the actual fuck?
Did they do the massacre or were they massacred?
That's my point. That's what I'm saying. All I'm saying is you say Antifa and all of a sudden there's a whole group of people on the internet whose mouths start foaming. And then there's another group of people on the internet whose mouths start foaming as well. So you can't win is my point. So explain it a little bit more, my friend, because hanging a lantern on it at this point ain't good enough.
You were asking which Alex Garland wrote this film. And I think it was the Alex Garland that wrote the third act of Sunshine, wrote this movie, because that movie just shits the bed so hard. And this whole movie just shits the bed from beginning to end.
I can't defend that third act of Sunshine, but I do love that movie. I could, and I recommend everyone go watch Sunshine instead of Civil War. But again, this doesn't fall apart in the third act. It's a meandering thing from the beginning and then completely goes nuts at the end because the action doesn't feel visceral. It feels like action movie nonsense at the end. It doesn't feel like... I don't care when any character dies in this movie. Not once.
Right.
And I wasn't scared for any of them, and I didn't give a shit because they don't give a shit, and they never seemed in danger, like you said, Mike.
It just felt like it was shot on a soundstage, that whole third act. Yeah, you know, just once they pull out from there, I'm just like, okay, yep, these are a couple city streets. This basically is the end of the first Suicide Squad.
Yeah. And
this is them. I wouldn't have been surprised if Nick Offerman was just dancing and a big blue light behind them. You know, it would have made as much sense.
White House is down, baby. That's a more fun, like, if you're going to make this movie, why not do something like Paul Verhoeven-esque? Because Paul Verhoeven has done on two accounts, two films that lampoon specifically American consumerism and American nationalism. Maybe not just specifically American nationalism with Starship Troopers, but definitely American consumerism with RoboCop. Why not do something similar here? Give them a reason that is ridiculous to be at war with one another. Because I'd like to point out, if there actually was an American Civil War at this point, it would be because of something fucking ridiculous at this point. It would have to be, because at this point, frankly, everything else has already happened that would have and should have led to a civil war, one would think, including people storming our nation's fucking capital. But my point being is, when those real things have happened, and Alex Garland said as much, he's like, I was writing this before 2020, before January 6th of 2021 happened. And it's like, okay, so once January 6th of 2021 happened, what did you do then? Oh, you just kept writing the same movie? Why? Like, now you have seen a thing that can inform something a lot more clearly than would have before. You know what? If anything, this movie is a poor attempt to try and open the discussion to the January 6th stuff and like what happened. Because again, like, if they're trying to have any message in this movie, it's about that, I guess. Like, but again, like, maybe not. Like, I don't even think this movie has a message, frankly. If it's attempting to have one, that's probably the starting point, but it doesn't go any further than just the first couple lines on Wikipedia, and then you go, I read it. Okay, I read the headline and the byline. I don't need to know anything else. Like, that's this movie in a nutshell. You know, pretty much a lot of the way people consume news now.
I think I'm going to keep harping on Dredd. Like, that is a better representation of America than than his understanding of American politics, if this is it. Because in Dredd, and like, you know what? Just write Dredd too, man. You can make any political point you want there. You've removed yourself with a little bit of comedy. Like, I kept thinking about Dr. Strangelove when I was watching this movie. Like, how fucking horrifying would it have been in 1962 or something to like be in the midst of the possible end of the world by nuclear annihilation and hear Stanley Kubrick cackling about it? Like, I would probably be scared to go see that movie, but that movie's so skillfully done without ducking under or beside the central message, which is the possible, eradication of humankind. I don't know. Like, it just makes me so mad that he did not engage in any way with anything as far as the reality of the situation, and we were supposed to care.
Yeah, I just felt numb the whole time. Like, I recently watched a documentary called God and Country, which looks at the events or looks at some of the things that have been going on in our country for decades that led up to January 6th, the whole idea of Christian nationalism and just how the platform was formed and how it has infected politics. And, you know, because you saw all those guys with the Christian nationalist symbols and flags and things at January 6th. So it's like, let's look at that. That was horrifying to me, just to hear about and learn more about that stuff. To see the January 6th footage is horrifying still. And this just didn't give me anything, didn't give me any feelings whatsoever. And there are all these very, you know, like just bathed in pathos moments of like, we're out in front of the JCPenney and you can see a movie theater in the back and there's a crashed helicopter and they're taking photos. Again, it's just a crashed helicopter. We don't see what made it crash. We didn't see any of that stuff. Again, I was waiting for there to be people on top of the shopping mall that they're in front of and looking down and signaling their friend across the way. That's more interesting. You know, even the Zack Snyder Dawn of the Dead is way more interesting than this thing. So it just didn't do what it was supposed to. I feel like that meme of like the character with the stick poking at it. It's like, do something, Civil War. Do something. Be entertaining in any way. Upset me. Make me mad, other than making me mad by not performing any sort of anything to make me feel like I just experienced something.
You mentioning Zack Snyder is hilarious because I'm sitting here thinking to myself, like, who's another director who cares more about the creation of imagery and less a sort of execution on anything behind it? And Zack Snyder is that director in so many ways. And Alex Garland is not someone that I ever would have thought I would be comparing to Zack Snyder. But given that this movie is effectively a lot of slow motion, provocative, in quotations, imagery for some people, but no substance behind it, that reminds me of a lot of my complaints with Zack Snyder's stuff. You know, in this, it's provocative imagery. In his stuff, it's the use of slow motion to be provocative. Here, it's just, oh, can you imagine Americans in a football stadium? Ooh, like, yeah, I can, because I've seen this in other post-apocalyptic, in quotations, media. I mean, if this is post-apocalyptic, it's not even, it's not even that. I mean, I Am Legend was more post-apocalyptic than this movie. Speaking of another movie that I feel like somehow did the post-apocalyptic thing, the first, 5 minutes of I Am Legend, you'll remember that movie at the beginning where it's them trying to leave New York City.
Mm-hmm.
That was better than this entire movie in terms of trying to capture the feeling of a big event happening. I mean, this is a found footage movie, but somehow it's just the boring aspects of a found footage movie. Like, this would have been better as a found footage movie because at least then they would have had an excuse for not explaining things. Here, it's like, you don't have an excuse. You just chose not to because you're not taking a stand.
The opening 5 minutes of Starship Troopers is more affecting than this movie and more panic-inducing. Like, this movie never achieves a level of panic.
No.
No. No. I mean, even I mentioned World War Z before, the opening of that movie when they're caught in traffic and you get the motorcycle that goes by and hits the mirror on the car and it just like shocks you out of what you were listening, you know, the family conversation. And then it's like, what the fuck is going on here? There's none of that. I mean, like, did he start this movie 6 months too late? Should this have been the origins of the Civil War? I think that would have been a lot more interesting. Instead, we're getting the end of the Civil War. And really, it just ends that easy. It feels like they had like, oh, okay, we got two tanks and there's like five guys over here, six guys over there, a couple people in the White House. Don't worry about it. And that's it. It was so
interesting. Yeah, what's going on? It would be a bloodbath. Like to earn the ending of running into the White House and seeing the president executed, this movie should have started with these reporters embedded with Western forces or the natural force or two stories going on. Like,
yes,
this is supposed to be a war movie and instead it's a road movie.
Yeah.
I mean, what's hilarious is, and realistically, again, breaking this down into the way the movie is projecting its logic onto the situation, if they're willing to just kill the president, why wouldn't they just take those tanks and shoot at the White House and we're done? We don't have to go into the building if we're just going to kill everybody inside anyways. The easiest thing to do is just surround it and blow it up. Just have one of those helicopters shoot at it. I fail to understand how this movie's like you've mentioned so many times, Father Malone, the logic of the movie is lacking on all fronts to the point where it's like, speaking of memes, it's like that other meme. Are we a fucking joke to you? Like, do you think we're stupid? I'm just saying, like, generally as film goers, is this what constitutes being provocative entertainment in 2024? Because my God, that documentary in Smog and Thunder from 2003, which was essentially only made to highlight those pieces of art that had already been made, is better than this. Confederate States of America is better than this. A movie made in like 2005.
Dawn is better than this by Mr. Yes. John Milius. That movie, it sketches out for you exactly what happened very quickly. These two teamed up and now we're fucked. And you know what? I didn't need more than that. Give me that much and we'll fucking follow you for the rest of your Civil War, man.
Yeah, I kind of am bummed out I made such a big deal about going to see this movie because it didn't deserve it at all.
Yeah.
It makes me sad that Alex Garland's last movie he made before this was a movie I really enjoyed too, because I found Men to be very interesting. Its third act kind of is just, to say,
dreadful is the word I would use. It's a better movie than Civil War because it's weirder and you can kind of go like, well, that was weird at the end. But yeah,
that's for sure.
But it's a third act bummer.
I would say that, you know, speaking of people that don't know how to end their things, Stephen King commenting on Civil War is rather ironic, one might say.
The tweet was 1,700 characters.
Oh, great. I don't know. This had all the trappings of something a lot more exciting and interesting than it ended up being. But for me, the impact that this movie had before it came out is more than after it came out. It's like Ghostbusters 2016. Remember how angry everybody got before that movie came out? Remember when that movie came out and everybody found out the movie just wasn't funny anyways? Had nothing to do with the fact that it was recast as women. That's the same thing here. This movie has nothing, you know, the fact that it's about the Civil War is not the reason this movie's bad. It's just bad because it is not doing anything with the time that it's been given and the budget that it's been given and the people who spent their time making the film.
The trailer bamboozled us. And you're right, Chris. The central line in that trailer, the line that they cut in half, that they made into another question entirely, was the one that was haunting me the entire time. What would you do in that situation where a man with a gun is standing there deciding what is and is not American, and your life hangs in that balance? How do you answer? What kind of an American are you? No, he just means, were you born here? Because if you weren't born here, I'm just going to shoot you.
Hey, I tried to do the No Country for Old Men scene with Anton Chigurh, and I ended up coming up short because instead of a real nickel, this was a wooden nickel. Like, there's no, the tension there is immediately sucked out of the scene the moment you realize what the actual line is and where that scene is going.
Oh, gentlemen, let's pull the plug on this discussion because this is,
Not and now an interview with Alex Garland.
I wish, man. I don't know. Like, we've already talked about so many other things that are worth checking out in place of this. I feel like that ultimately, if you've stuck with us through this overwhelmingly negative episode, is our duty to point you in a better direction. Confederate States of America, In Smog and Thunder. Anything else that comes to mind that you guys would suggest so we can at least, you know, compliment sandwich this thing?
Dread. Go Dread. See Dread.
Yeah, that too.
Dread still holds up, man. I watch that movie very often and it is still so good.
I had to watch it as a palate cleanse after watching this one.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. Or you know what? Children of Men. Children of Men is the movie that this yes. movie wants to be so badly. Go watch that movie. Like they cop a lot of moments from Children of Men in this movie in Definitely. A way that's like devoid of any value in this movie's execution.
Oh, check out Salvador, the James Woods movie, the Oliver Stone flick. If you want to see about photojournalists and have actual harrowing moments where you are concerned your lead character might perish.
Oh yeah, yeah, and to see the older photographer who has been around and he's got that 3,000-yard stare and you're just like, this guy's seeing some shit, man. And I got that with Dunst sometimes, but at the yeah. same time, I was like, I don't really care. So performance, no fault of her for that. I thought that she did a great job. So there's my compliment. I thought Kirsten Dunst did a wonderful job with this, as she does all the time.
Yeah, the actors are actually like, I guess I probably aborted my point earlier, but to your point, Mike, everybody in this movie is fantastic and everything else I've seen them in. It's clearly none of their faults that they're not given much to work with, because Kirsten Dunst still in my favorite Spider-Man movie. Wagner Moura was the lead of Narcos for a reason. I mean, and again, Nick Offerman being in this movie as the president, I thought it could have been an interesting choice. But again, with nothing to go off of, it just kind of doesn't go anywhere.
He doesn't even have a conversation. He practices a speech and then he gets shot. And you know what? If I was one of those soldiers, I wouldn't have just ganked him right there in the Oval Office. I probably would have pulled him out onto the White House lawn and hung him up by his heel and shot him that way. Really made a spectacle of it.
Right. Like, you know, be provocative.
This is what we do to traitors.
Right. Be provocative.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he thought just the shooting of the president was provocative enough. And that's the thing. He somehow in his bid to obfuscate the actual conflict here, he's also obfuscated how bloodthirsty this goddamn conflict would actually be.
Exactly.
The horrible bloodbath that would be an American Civil War. So, you know, fail on all levels, this movie.
When a PBS documentary on YouTube that is free to watch is more provocative than this, we have problems. When they're saying this is how this would happen and we're going to talk about it in ways that are upsetting, those are those ideas that needed to just be projected out from that, not concocted whole cloth because we couldn't just do the thing. Like, I guess it's because we don't really want to have the difficult conversation that the movie is the way that it is. I guess that's what it is. That's what it ultimately feels like. Like, nobody is an adult enough to have the conversation that needs to be had, which is, like you said, Father Malone, if this were to happen, it would be an actual fucking nightmare for every single fucking one of us. And I don't think there'd be any way that anybody could sit in their house and be like, I'm going to ignore that the country is literally now tearing itself apart. I find that to be kind of an affront to anyone's logic at this point, given where we are. And this movie doesn't exist without us being in the state that we're in right now.
Or that, you know what, that town could exist, but that would be its own movie. Like, how does this town exist amidst all of the bloodshed?
Right, right.
There's tons and tons of promise in this movie. All preparation, no agent.
You just mentioned Zone of Interest, essentially, by the way.
Mm. Right. Right.
Yeah, right. I mean,
even it feels a little bit like barter town that Mad Max goes to in the third movie, where it's like,
absolutely.
Okay, there is no violence in this town because we take all of your weapons and we have this like regimented world where we've got everything. It needs to be the way that it is. It's, you know, it's almost like the logic of the wastelands or something. Like, it should have been something like that. We're like, okay, you check your guns when you come to this checkpoint and that's it for this town. And Something.
Yeah, if you're going to make a zombie movie, make the zombie movie. Make the communities. Make it the Wild West again. Yeah. Because that's what it actually takes. You can't just say, I'm making a photojournalist road movie and against a mythical backdrop about a civil war in America where nothing really actually happens and nobody's really mean to each other.
You know what, Father Malone? That town that they came to, that should have been the same town that Don Johnson went to and was supposed to impregnate all those women and a boy and his dog.
Oh, yeah, speaking of better apocalyptic movies, go check out A Boy and His Dog, everybody. What a fucking good one that is.
Just go watch Fallout on Prime Video.
Yeah.
It's so much fun. And you know what?
God.
If the apocalypse happened, I would hope that Walton Goggins was a ghoul cowboy shooting people. And who fucking cares? You know what? At this point, as much as I want to say thanks for the reality of this movie, Alex Garland, if the world is going to end, I'd rather there be all sorts of fucked up shit on the other side of it to be entertaining for somebody, because the likelihood of me being around if something like that happened is essentially zero. Yeah. But, you know, giant rats and cockroaches being killed with guns and swords and shit, I'm on board. Give me 100 episodes of that and not an hour more of something like this.
You know what? Not only that, not only the crazy cool action and all the fucking, you know, beautiful sets and visual effects, but like they're dealing with America on an actual political realistic manner in the most sort of out there way possible and actually commenting on our situation as opposed to this movie, which is supposed to be about it.
Well, gosh, it's like you and I were talking a little bit about The Boys before we started recording. That's all about like corporate greed and sponsorships and all these, you know, the guys who get away with it, you know, that's supposed to be the hero to everybody, but he's actually a vicious murderer. But somehow they get the ratings back. They win over the people. Like, that's interesting stuff. You know what would have been going on? Like, I agree. We're like 5 seconds away from having like mass murder for across the country kind of thing. As far as like, if this were to happen, people would just be like, oh, okay, this is great. And just strap on all the guns, do whatever they want, and become mass murderers, you know, because that's fun. Where's the things like gladiatorial games? Like, I'm surprised they didn't come to a town and it's they get captured and have to fight somebody. You know, like, they're fighting a bear from the local zoo. Like, what's the actual infrastructure of the world?
Yeah, pay no attention to that. This is about photojournalism.
It's about photojournalism. I guess all the grocery stores still work.
Electricity works too, apparently. And
sure does.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, look, the highways are a little clogged, but, you know, just take the back roads and you're okay.
It's like I said, it's the most boring zombie movie I've ever seen. Like, when, okay, cool. I guess you didn't have a budget. They're invisible zombies. Ooh, like The Last of Us, Fallout, Twisted fucking Metal even is a better post-apocalyptic anything than this. Because you know what? At this point, like I said, as much fun as it is to fantasy book the reality, if it were to happen, I would just want to see the weird shit that happened instead. Because this is just so pedantic in every sense of the word. And Alex Garland should never be considered pedantic by any stretch of the imagination.
Chris, when you're not riffing on mainstream movies, what are you up to these days?
This is why we don't riff on mainstream movies, by the way. This is the reason, folks. That's why we don't do it, but that's why possibly you may be hearing it more often. But yeah, if you want to hear everything that I'm doing, normally very positive, not this kind of critical, weirdingwaymedia.com, which is a podcast network where you can find everything that I work on and so many many other things that I don't. So yeah, weirdingwaymedia.com. What about you, Fob Malone?
Oh, I'm also over there at the Weirding Way Media. You can check out our show, Midnight Viewing, the horror anthology podcast, where we're currently taking a look at Tales from the Dark Side. You can also hear me over on Dark Destinations. That is a radio drama that I write and produce. Find that all over at the Weirding Way.
And as for me, you can hear everything that I do also at weirdingwaymedia.com, including a brand new show that we have coming out called the Chasing Chevy Chase podcast, which should be dropping in about a week from the time that this comes out. So looking forward to hearing reactions to that. Not necessarily looking forward to hearing reactions to this episode, because we were pretty mean to Alex Garland and just had to be so negative about this movie.
Such a bunch of negative Nellies, even though one of us said Annihilation is literally one of their favorite movies. But it's okay. That part will get forgotten because we're just so mean to the guy who was given $150 million to make a big budget movie. Sorry.
I love Dredd. I don't care what anyone says. Alex Garland, I love him. I'm looking forward to the next one. X-Machina.
Same.
Man, you know, like, I'm a fan of the guy. It's just that this was such a horrible misstep in every direction.
Did you guys stay till the end of the credits with this one? Because this is actually in the Ex Machina universe. You get to see, there's a moment when it's Nick Offerman there on the ground, and then Oscar Isaac comes dancing in.
I would have, couldn't redeem it though, could it?
No. What are they about? There's so many of us, 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 there's so many of us.